Welcome to Raising a Pro. I'm Annie Apple, journalist and NFL mom to my son, Eli Apple. Today, I'm so excited because I have one of my best friends on the show, Miss Dawn Elliott. You may know her son. Yeah, his name is Ezekiel Elliott. You know, star running back for the Dallas Cowboys. Ezekiel was drafted number 4 overall by Dallas in the 2016 NFL Draft. Dawn and I have known each other for years as our sons played Ohio State together and were drafted in the same round. I am so grateful for this friendship and this sisterhood. So, meet Ezekiel, Layla, and Aaliyah's mom, my friend, Dawn Elliott. How long has it been since we've seen each other? It's been a while, right? Your birthday in LA, was that it?
It was March 13th through the 15th. That we saw each other in person. We do FaceTime.
Yeah, but it was Dawn's birthday. And it was right before like the whole country locked down for the pandemic. And Dawn flew out from Missouri to Los Angeles for us to celebrate her birthday. I had this whole thing planned. We had a chef come in and cook. And one of Dawn's favorite shows, First 48. The woman is obsessed with that show anyway. So the theme was, you know, First 48. So I had hired the little people, exotic dancer, to come and dress up like in a police uniform to come dance for Dawn. But however, because COVID was really starting to pick up, the place called and said that the guy can't come because being a little person, they have very low immune system. And so they won't be able to dance. So it was so bumped. I was like, can he dance in a bubble?
That was a surprise too. That would have been a pleasant surprise.
I know. We still have to do that after COVID in 2025 or something. First of all, everybody knows how athletic and just gifted Ezekiel is. But we're going to take this back to Grandpa Leon. Dawn's dad, Leon Huff, played basketball at Drake and was like one of the university's all-decade team of the 1970s. But what y'all don't know about Leon is like he is handsome. All right. The man is like, I crush on her dad every time I see him. He's like, what, 6'9"? The man,
he's 6'7".
He seems 6'9 to me because I'm 5'1". The man is so handsome and he knows he's handsome.
Oh my gosh. It's because I look like him. So of course he's handsome.
But your dad, I think the athletic ability, I'm no, you know, genetic expert, but if I had to break down the, you know, the whole Elliott athletic, I'm not taking anything away from Stacy, Papa Stacy, but it's like it went from Leon, then it went to you. Because as close as you and I are, I didn't even know you were 1990 Female Athlete of the Year in Des Moines.
I was. The Des Moines Register.
Please flex. Tell us about that. Like, you were the bomb.
Well, in high school, I played 4 sports. So in Iowa, softball and baseball goes from May to August. So you can do a fall sport, a winter sport, a spring sport, and a summer sport. So I did volleyball, basketball, track, and softball. And I was like all state in all of the sports. So they named me Des Moines Register Female Athlete of the Year.
And then you went to Missouri where you ran track.
I did.
The athletic ability, you did everything at such a high level. What pushed you? Like, what always made, like, motivate you to always keep everything at 100? You know what I mean? Because sometimes when we participate in high school sport, the parents, like, just go ahead so you don't come home to 8:00. You know what I mean? So you don't use up electricity and eat up all the food. Go on out the house and come back when the sun goes down. But, like, you excel at every level.
Well, I'm just very competitive. Like, even as a child, you know, playing a board game. If I was losing, guess what happened? The board game just got upset. Nobody's going to win if I can't win. But I didn't cheat or anything in sports when I was playing. It wasn't like I tried to take anybody out. I didn't do anything like that. But just really competitive. Also, the fact that if you look where I grew up, the population of the town is 1,500. So there just really wasn't a whole lot to do outside of playing sports. But no, the competitive nature is definitely there. But I need to add something. My mom was an athlete too. She played on a state tournament basketball team and she hurdled.
Mimi, shout out to Mimi.
Yes. She just didn't do it at the collegiate level. So I think the athleticism comes from both my father and my mother.
So you went to Missouri and then you met somebody there. right? You met this dude who played on a team that only had 12 wins his entire time.
They had some close ones, though.
You know, all what did Brandy say? Almost doesn't count, right?
I know. Colorado won the national championship 1 year, and they beat us because they got a fifth down. But whatever. It was their win.
In all seriousness, you know, you have three children, and they're all three so athletic. Take us back to when Ezekiel started playing football. At what age did he really start playing football?
He had just turned seven. He turned seven in July, and they started practice at the end of the month. 2002.
My God, 2002.
He's been doing this every fall since 2002. He's been doing it a long time.
So what was it about football? Even because Ezekiel also did other sports, right? Like track, like...
So I have a girlfriend whose son is 2 years older than Ezekiel. So when Howard was seven and we took him out to practice, Ezekiel was five and he wanted to practice. I mean, I had to leave, you know, and put him in the car, you know, screaming and crying. I'm like, you're not old enough. You don't weigh enough. So when he was seven, I took him right back out there to the same spot and he's just been with it ever since. But yeah, he played. Because like even when he was younger, like he started T-ball when he was three. So he did T-ball, baseball. He did all of the baseball series until he was 12. He played basketball as well. He started playing basketball at like five.
So did you and Stacy like have this dream for Ezekiel to go to the next level? Because in high school, he went to what? Burroughs High School in St. Louis. And it's a very, very affluent school. Why was it so important to make sure... For you guys to make sure that your kids got the top of the line education?
I mean, it was very important. The public schools in St. Louis, they have some good public schools, but we actually lived on the Illinois side, but I just wanted them to get the best education. And in the public school, I didn't feel like that was the best option at the time. I really wasn't thinking like Division I football player, even though Stacy played Division I football and I ran track. I just wanted academically, you know, you can get this academic scholarship. He just happened to be good at football and track. He could have done track as well.
And not only athletically, academically too, he excelled. I think that many times people don't realize that academically he was equally as competitive. And so, I mean, he did his thing in high school, won four state track titles
in like 2.5 hours.
Unbelievable. And I saw here, like, the NFL quarterback, Gus Frerotte, also coached.
Coach Frerotte.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. What was that like?
So Gus became the head coach his junior and senior year. He had a different coach his freshman and sophomore year. But Coach Frerotte did work because I believe he was still, maybe when they were eighth grade, Gus was still playing. I think he was in Minnesota. But anyway, Gus's daughter, Abby, is in the same class with Ezekiel. Maybe it was when Ezekiel was a freshman, Gus started helping out with the high school team. Then he eventually took over the head coaching position Ezekiel's junior year. But like I said, we knew Gus from eighth grade. It was definitely helpful. Gus knows a lot of the people. So I think... At least when he was going through the NFL process, you know how they like do this massive background check on you. I think that he, Gus was probed a lot.
And probed and prodded. But before we get to the NFL, let's go to the college. Cause I know we met during recruiting. Ohio State. We did.
Yeah. Lisa Apple.
Yeah. And Don Ezekiel.
No, I was just, I don't know why I thought your name was Lisa. And then when you gave me your number, I was like, this number is in my phone under Lisa Apple.
Yeah. So we met during recruiting. The boys were like, but they had always, they competed some 7-on-7. They did the Nike thing and then the U.S. Army All-American, which was so much fun.
And they did something in Orlando, didn't they?
Yeah. They did something everywhere.
So gridiron or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I got a picture of like them and Jalen and Cam.
Wow.
And by the way, I have to tell you that they were down there on July 28th. It was my mom's birthday. My mom said Ezekiel and some other guys called her and sung happy birthday to her. So Eli and Cam and Jalen and Ezekiel called Mimi back then to sing happy birthday to her.
That is so sweet. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I know Eli didn't sing on key. So.
Well, neither did Ezekiel.
But I mean, U.S. Army All-American game, that was awesome. And then Ohio State. Let's get to the college experience though. What was your expectation for, I know Urban heavily recruited Ezekiel. What was it like? What advice did you give Ezekiel when it came to choosing school? Because I mean, you were like, maybe did you never push Mizzou, or you're just like, that was his choice?
It was definitely his choice. We developed a really good relationship with Coach Meyer and Coach Drayton and Coach Combs. Coach Combs recruited as well. I guess St. Louis was his area.
Was it? Oh my God.
Yes. Coach Combs doesn't eat. He eats dinner. He has coffee for breakfast, lunch, and I think snacks in between breakfast and lunch and lunch and dinner. And then he eats dinner.
If you cut that man, he would bleed coffee. You know what I mean? Seriously, coffee would come through his vein.
I just, you know, I think it was the relationship. I mean, they were on it. Coach Meyer and Coach Drayton. I will have to say Coach Alford was a close second at Notre Dame. And it was funny because when Ezekiel, he was kind of wavering at the end, like he was thinking he might want to go to Mizzou. And Coach Alford called me one day. I guess he knew there was blood in the water or whatever. And I told him, I was like, Coach Alford called. He wants you to call. And he was like, I'm not talking to him. Because Coach Alford was that, you know, I guess Ezekiel was like, I'm not even going to let him cloud my mind.
We took a trip to Notre Dame also, and I remember the defensive coordinator at that time, Bob Diaco, was, and he had great hair.
He still has the best hair. I Google him from time to time to see his hair. You hear me?
Seriously, the man has great hair. Anyway, Notre Dame's great school. I just didn't feel like Brian Kelly was a good fit for us. You can't be yelling and grabbing nobody's kids on the sideline, because the one day you do that to mine, I will hop on you. All 5-1 of me will hop on you.
You're going to jump over that side and over Irish Willie or whatever his name is.
Whatever it is, honey.
The Fighting Irish mascot.
The spirit of Touchdown Jesus will be upon me and I will land on your ass. But let's get to Ohio State. I mean, we get there. What was your favorite moment from the college years?
It's got to be those three games at the end of their sophomore year. The Big Ten Championship, the Sugar Bowl, and the National Championship. Probably just all three of those.
For those of you who don't follow college football, was, you know, in late 2014, we went on that run where the last game of the regular season was against Michigan, that school up north who our kids.
Against who?
I'm sorry, the team up north. It was, but for okay. Those who don't know, that's University of Michigan. And all you University of Michigan fans out there, just let you know that our sons never lost to you guys. We're not bragging, we're just stating. Anyway, so JT goes down, right, in that game. And then Cardell has to be the starter for that, which was just crazy. What was Ezekiel's, like, response to you about, because when I talked to Eli about that game, I was like, were you guys ever concerned that, you know, they were like, no, we knew Cardell could do it because we've seen him in practice.
He was never, or if he was concerned, he never said it to me, but I don't feel like he was ever concerned. And just to make a note, Braxton actually went down right before. It was the same time when Ezekiel broke his wrist, because Ezekiel played that whole season with a broken wrist. It was in the summer or whatever, you know, like in August during training. Braxton went down, so then JT stepped up.
JT got it, that's right.
So Cardell was actually our third string quarterback.
Yes.
But no, Ezekiel never mentioned anything. He felt like Cardell, I guess, was just as good.
I forgot about that. Was a lot that year. It was Braxton. Braxton went down, JT stepped up. JT stepped up big.
Sure did.
JT stepped up big time. And then Cardell, third string. We went to the Big Ten Championship with a third string quarterback.
He lit him up.
And we beat Wisconsin. What's the score again? 59-0. You know, I remember we went to New Orleans to play them. And all that weekend, you know, we were running to Alabama fans who just really knew they had that game a lot. They were just like, we thank you for coming. We look forward to whipping your little ass. You know what I mean? But it was just, and then that game, that 85 yards. Run. What were you feeling when Ezekiel had the run of all runs?
I had to go to the bathroom. I was just like, please don't pee on yourself. And I was down. I was standing up, jumping like, ooh, Don, don't pee on yourself.
Because we will talk about you.
Right. But I didn't. But I had to pee. And he was running and ran far. And then I immediately looked for a flag. Because usually when he breaks long touchdown runs, somebody held or something.
Yeah.
So I was like, no yellow flags, no flags. That one counts. But that's what I always do. Whenever he gets a touchdown, I look for a flag.
college year, I just want to, you know, we went on to win the national title, which was just amazing because it was the first college football playoff title. And we won that. It was so apropos because we won that in Jerry's World and at AT&T Dallas Stadium. And, you know, we beat Oregon. And so fast forward, before we even get there, the following season, I felt we could have gone back. We could have gone back to back, but that's an issue that I've dealt with in therapy. And what was the draft process like? It seems like Ezekiel knew he wanted to go to the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, no, he knew he wanted to go. I don't know if he knew he was going to go. He just like kind of, I guess he was like putting it out there. Like, I'm going to claim this.
Eli always says that Ezekiel drafted the Cowboys. They didn't draft him.
I think he put it out there. He was like, he was studying their plays and he would show me. I remember he showed me and I was like, Mom, look at this. Look at this guy. And it was Lyle Collins. You know, he had thrown a couple blocks and went all the way down the field with the running back. He's like, look at this guy move. You know, so he was definitely watching and he wanted to play behind that offensive line. And whew, yeah.
So right before even the draft, when did you guys know, especially for Ezekiel, that it was time for him to leave college and enter the pro?
So it was hard for me because I wanted him to graduate. Now, this is selfish of me. I wanted senior day to go down on the field and get my rose.
With the flowers.
Yeah. Never got it. He told me I can get it from Layla. She quit track. So I don't get a senior moment with Layla either. But
we'll break in the shoe. We'll break in the stadium. We'll get you some roses and we'll go in the middle field.
Coach Day, can Ezekiel get an honorary senior's day?
Please, Lord knows he brought enough money to the school, but I digress.
Not for him, but for his mama. His mama was the senior day. So anyway, I think I didn't really realize it until after that 3-game run. I was like, okay, maybe this kid can play on the next level and be decent. But no, it was never really a thought. My thought was just like, you know, go to school, get your degree, use that connection as being a Buckeye, you know, and have a successful career. Doing whatever you wanted to do. He was in the school of business. I think after those 3 games, you know, I was like, oh, we might have something here.
And, you know, briefly, let's touch on Costas. I know his good friend who died while he was at Ohio State, and Ezekiel was one of the pallbearers for him. What was that like? Just a little background where, I don't know, one of the guys on the team who was very close to Eli reportedly committed suicide. It's still hard for me to imagine that being a suicide at this point. But how hard was that for Ezekiel?
I remember him in Thanksgiving. He kept saying, you know, he has a friend that's been missing. It was during Thanksgiving dinner and he would like try to call a phone. He was like, the phone's going to voicemail. And so, you know, I know that it was on his mind. And then, you know, we had the game Saturday. And I was leaving Sunday as I was driving back to St. Louis. I know I had read something where they said they thought they found a body that might have been him that Sunday. So I texted Ezekiel and I remember he texted me back. He's like, oh God, I hope not, you know? And so, I'm getting emotional. I remember I texted Coach Drayton and I was like, watch my son. I was like, I think that they found Costa. But, you know, there's nothing that's been confirmed. And so Coach Drayton texted me back and he said, you know, he confirmed it. He's like, I can tell it's affected Ezekiel. So Ezekiel never lost a friend.
That was so numbing. I remember that being so numbing because everything happened so fast and nothing made sense.
Yeah, and he was missing for a few days. Because remember they had like the missing sign up during the game.
Yeah, and it was even a moment. I mean, it was just a lot happening. But for Ezekiel to be able to compartmentalize that and still, you know, still go on, like, how did that help in his growth at that point? Because that was a great loss.
It was definitely tough on him. He had never lost a friend. You know, that's the first friend that he'd lost to death. He felt honored, you know, that the family asked him, you know, to be a pallbearer. Cause he kind of, you know, Cost was a walk-on and he would give Ezekiel rides and stuff because Ezekiel didn't have a car at the time. So he and Costa ended up being close, you know.
Yeah. And Costa, Kara George, if I'm saying his name correct, Said he took his own life with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He was 22, and this was November of 2014. That was a heartbreaker.
It was.
Ezekiel kept running.
He did, and put it on his belt.
Yeah, that I remember that time being just the whole circumstance. It was very heavy. Before we continue our conversation with Dawn, I would like to send an important message to our listeners. We touch on a lot of topics in this series, whether that's grief or dealing with any life setbacks, because mental health and well-being, honestly, is a big part of all of our lives. And we all have our struggles, especially during the holidays. If there's something, anything in your life that's keeping you from being happy or holding you back, then BetterHelp could be just the support you need. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist so you can start communicating in under 48 hours. This isn't a crisis line and it's not self-help. This is professional counseling done securely online as and when you need it. If money's an issue, don't worry. You'll find it's more affordable than traditional counseling and financial aid is available. Visit betterhelp.com/wrap. That's BetterHelp. H-E-L-P, and join the over million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. And with this special offer, Raising a Pro listeners get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/wrap. Best wishes to you. So, I mean, Ezekiel did his thing in college, right? Like Big Ten most valuable player in 2015, Big Ten offensive player 2015, then Sugar Bowl MVP, national title MVP. Let me ask you, is there any point with all these accolades coming, before we even really get into the pros, how did you work to keep him humble? Like, how did you, because I mean, this is a lot, right? I mean, like, you're the top. How do you, like, help him manage expectations and all that stuff?
You know, Stacy did a lot with that because Stacy was there with him. So Stacy did that for the most part. Yeah. But I think it's just, you know, how he's raised.
Because people won't realize it, but Ezekiel is very grounded. People think, oh, you walk around like, oh, you're this big superstar. But he's very grounded. He's like a big kid.
He is a big kid.
So draft day, we were so blessed because we all got to go to Chicago to enjoy the draft together, right? It was like, how many players from Ohio State? I know it was myself, you, Cheryl, the Boza family, Taylor Decker, Darren Lee. It was like a whole bunch of us. Let's talk about Ezekiel's suit for the draft. did you tell? Why you got that look on you?
Because I didn't know until we came around that corner, he opened the suit up. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Ezekiel's shirt was like a cutoff.
Let me tell you, it was a regular shirt because if you look at when he went on the stage, he tucked it back in. He pinned it up so it looked like it was a half shirt. So he did, it was pinned up. And his father helped him. His father helped him pin it up. And they didn't tell me. And he and I come walking around the corner and he does like this. And I look, I was like, no, you didn't.
What was that moment for you when the team that he dreamt of and really wanted to go to when he got there? I know I was there, but how did that feel for you when he was number 4 overall, 2016 NFL draft?
That moment seemed like, I don't know, what did they get, 2 minutes, however many minutes on the clock? That seemed like it was forever because it was actually during the first pick, like before the Rams had announced Goff, Coach Brown, who was his running back coach his first 4 seasons with Dallas, called him and was like, has anybody talked to you? And Ezekiel was like, no. But we didn't know who was calling him because his agent's like, oh, shit. He's like, that's Philly calling. Because, you know, they had the second pick. And he's like, they told me that they were taking a quarterback. So I was like, I can't see the area code. You know, this is me and Rocky talking while Ezekiel's on the phone with Coach Brown. So when Ezekiel hangs up, he tells me, he's like, that's Coach Brown. He wants to know, has anybody called and talked to us? And Rocky's like, you should have told him yes. Because Rocky's figuring that the Cowboys are trying to do a trade or something to get Ezekiel later. Then Carson was picked. Then Joey was picked. They were like, oh, yeah. You know, we were all excited for Joey. So then we're nervous for 4 because we saw Michael Irvin on the red carpet. And he was like, oh, Cowboys are picking you. This is what Michael Irvin told us. Then when we got in the green room, Jalen Ramsey's table was like right here. It was next to ours. And Deion Sanders comes walking through and they're like, if the Chargers don't take Jalen, then the Cowboys are going to take him. This is what he told us. So we're like, oh gosh, you know, so we're like, when number four, when Cowboys are on the clock and they're taking forever. So we try to look at Jalen's table to see if he got a call. All his people stood up around the table. So we couldn't see if he got a call. So we're like, okay. Then the cameras, everybody ran to Laramie Tunzel. I didn't know who they were running to, but then I heard him say, oh, Laramie Tunzel got a call. And so Rocky's like, damn, the Cowboys, he figured they did a trade or something, you know, so that Ezekiel was going to go back further. Then Ezekiel's phone rang. I didn't really realize what was going on with Laramie at the time. And I didn't know until I got back to my hotel room after that. Because, you know, when they pick you, you're swept off and you got to get out of there. But then Ezekiel got the call and he just dropped the phone. So we were excited. But I mean, that whole moment just seemed like it lasted forever. You know,
it did. I remember during the draft week while we were there, you know, folks used to tease Joey Bosa, like, you're going to Cleveland. He's like, no. So he cried real tears of joy when he got to go to San Diego. Well, the Chargers.
I remember the Buckeye fans used to have, they used to tease. They had a meme or something that said, Joey Bosa is going to stay his fourth year so he doesn't get drafted by Cleveland, but Cleveland is still going to draft him.
Oh my goodness. That was such an unforgettable draft.
It was.
So Ezekiel gets to go to America's team, right? And the most profitable sports franchise pretty much ever. What were some advice that you and Stacy gave him going into the pros?
Just to keep working hard. You know, he has his work ethic is he goes 100%. That was it. You know, just do what you do. I don't know if many people know this, but at Ohio State, if you're on one of the consensus first team All-Americans, you get a Buckeye tree in Buckeye Grove. Ezekiel never got that. He don't have a tree. He was second team consensus All-American. You know, it was like, you know, do what you do in Dallas. Like, we'll plant you a Buckeye tree at your house in Dallas.
I just realized Ezekiel never got a tree.
He doesn't. He's not in Buckeye Grove.
Listen, you're going to get your flowers, okay? And he's going to get his tree.
Not build them. We'll plant one. We'll plant
15
one.
Of them trees for that number 15. 15. It'll be hard.
My son will have a Buckeye. He'll have a Buckeye Grove in Frisco.
What is the toughest thing, though, for you with having a kid in the NFL?
I hate to say this, but people will ask me for money. People that I know, I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't get drafted. I'm not scoring any touchdowns. I'm not blocking. I'm not toting the rock. I don't have, I'm a thousandaire.
Well, you more than me. I'm a $100-naire. Let me tell you something. I'm so poor. If the bank mess up and take $2 out of my account, I know it. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, I'm not knowing too.
Somebody stole $120,000 from me. I didn't know. Listen, you take $2 out of my account, I feel it. I will get a notification. You just got broker. $2 is
gone. Oh, I'm going to notice it too, but you know who else will notice it? Ezekiel's a millionaire, but that boy is on his accounts. You know? So he's going to notice it too. He's tight. He's tight with his money.
So at first, when he got drafted, I think it was very important to him to take care of you guys, but, you know, especially you. You retired, then you went back to work.
Sure did.
Why?
I'm working now. I went back to work. And now I'm kind of like,
I want to go to an island.
I do want to go to an island. We're trying to get a nonprofit started for him, but it's hard to do that in fundraising in this time. You know, you really can't do anything. You can't do any fundraisers. So we're trying to figure it out. Eventually, one day I'll break away and I'm going to help him run that.
And you'll eventually move to Texas?
I am. I'm going to move to Texas.
Yeah, but let's get to the middle child, Layla Elliott, who we share a daughter. She is getting ready to finish up at Ohio State.
Yeah.
She ran track, but the athletic one of the family is not Ezekiel, it's Aaliyah.
It is, yeah. Well, they're all athletes, but probably Aaliyah is the best athlete.
Yeah. Wow. Volleyball, track, she goes hard. She reminds me a lot of, if I had to go back and try to figure out a high school you, it would be Aaliyah, but with less Clark.
No, she's more Clark. Yeah. I'm less Clark.
Yeah, you're less Clark. It would be Aaliyah. That's what it would be, Aaliyah with less Clark.
Even the Clarks call her a Clark.
all the other moms, a lot of us, we used to call it Dawn the super mom, because it was like Aaliyah had this, Layla had this. You were just all over the place. Like, your time were your kids. So when is it going to become Dawn Elliott's time?
2028, because you know Aaliyah's going to have 4 years of college. It won't be as hectic in 2024 because she will be at college. I just have to make sure that I can go to her games or track meets, whatever she decides to do in college. That's probably why, because when I had all three of them at home, and even when Ezekiel was at college and Layla was in high school and Aaliyah was doing her thing, that's probably why I can't stay up past 9, because I'm catching up from all that, from running like a chicken with the head cut off.
Let's get to social media real quick, because we all know, like, we love social media. We are very sociable people. It's both a gift and a curse. It has its moments, because some fans who were raised outside by raccoons don't realize that no matter what kind of game your kid have, you don't got to come tell me what you think about it. You know, I always say, like, if you don't like Eli, like, don't go tell your mom about it. Don't come tell Eli's mom about it. How have you evolved on social media, though? Because you are such a presence, but how do you handle that?
First of all, I can't see your tweets unless I follow you. So I had to tell, like, some of my followers are so sweet, and they'll, like, try to get on the people. I'm like, wait a minute. I can see your response to them. So if you're going to respond to them, please just take my name out of it, because I don't want to see any of it. Because, you know, I know you're being sweet, and I understand. I was like, but I don't even want to see, which I still can't see, but I see their defense. I'm like, oh, I don't want to see your defense. But what was that? Who was that? Was it Mike Tyson said something about social media has, I don't know, made people brave or something because they can't get punched in the face? Something along those lines, Mike Tyson said.
Yeah, people come they really were at you about your child. I'm like, could you imagine somebody tweeting your parents about what you're doing at H&R Block? Like, let me tell you, your son made me not get that extra $30. Like, I mean, like, who
cares? You know what? I did tell somebody, I think it was yesterday. It was on an Instagram post that said something. Oh, it had a picture of Ezekiel, his Little League baseball picture. He was like 3 years old, okay? His Little League baseball picture. It said, can you guess which player this is? And someone said, the one that's making me lose my fantasy. So I was like, because I got tagged in it, I guess, because it was a picture, you know, it was a picture that I posted. Whoever it was tagged me in it. So I see it. So I was just like, well, maybe you should bench him and use one of the other running backs on your team.
Or maybe you should go and do something else. Like, nobody cares about you. We don't care about your fantasy football team.
I can assure you that none of these players are playing for anybody's fantasy points. They're not playing for your fantasy points. So quit telling them how many points you need to win your damn league for the week.
They don't care. Let's talk about injuries. How, you know, it's a conversation I've had with other moms, right? I remember talking to Sherry Shepherd, Sterling Shepherd's mom. He's with the New York Football Giants. And when it comes to concussions, she was like, they just don't talk about it. That's how they, as a family, choose to handle it. And one thing I know in this league is, like, you have to deal with things in a way that works best for you and your family. How do you guys deal with, because, I mean, Ezekiel is a running back. Ezekiel not only gives hits, he takes some, right? That's part of the position. But he gives a lot more, it looks like, than he takes. But anyway, how do you guys, you know, deal with the scariness of injury?
I just, you know what? He is a tough kid. He'll go down. And if you ever notice, you probably don't pay attention, but I do because it's my kid. Ezekiel always gets back up. Always. I know that he can take a lot. One game last year, it was either the Giants or Redskins, whoever was our very last home game last year. Ezekiel he was running, and one of the defenders, like, ran into his thigh and knocked the kid out. So Ezekiel goes down, kid is down, Ezekiel doesn't get up. I'm nervous. You know, I was like, okay, my son always gets right back up, you know, and if he has to go off, he'll go jog on the side or whatever, but he's laying there. So, you know, it took him a minute to get up. So that, I'm like, this ain't, you know, this is not typical. So at that point I was nervous. I never get nervous when he goes down, because like I said, he'll always get back up. So he finally gets up, he goes to the side, he jogs up and down for a while. And then he's back in the game, you know, after the kid ended up getting carted off. After the game, Ezekiel came to the suite. We were waiting in the suite for him. He comes to the suite and he was like, hey, mom, Were you nervous when I didn't get back up? I'm like, yes, you little shit. He was like, I saw that kid was knocked out. So he's like, that guy was knocked out. So he's like, I just took my time getting up. I didn't get right back up.
Cheryl Bolson says she always tells her kids, if you get hurt, I'm going to kill you.
You're really going to get hurt. You're not going to come back from it. But no, I didn't. And he told me, and I never knew this. He told me one time, it was in Little League. He was the punter in the kickoff. He was the kicker on his Little League team as well. And it was on a kickoff. And he actually went and tackled the person after he kicked the ball. And he hurt his ankle. He actually ended up breaking it. He said, I told him if he didn't get his ass up and get off. He said, I yelled that at him. I do not remember doing that to him. So he said, ever since then, he gets up.
Wow.
I don't remember yelling at 10-year-old Ezekiel, get your ass up. I don't.
You know, if you out there, you have camera of that, please. Please send it to Dawn. Football is a hard sport. What are your concerns when it comes to CTE, when it comes to concussions?
Yeah, I'm definitely a nervous wreck about that. The only concussion I know that he had was from a fight. He got jumped one time. And
now, who did that?
Some locals in Columbus, Ohio. That's why I tell my children, I tell any children that I feel like are my children, when you go to college, don't mess with the locals. Do not mess with the locals. If they're not going to school, don't mess with the locals. But apparently some locals were on campus and they decided to jump Ezekiel one night.
Wow. Okay.
And he got a concussion. And it wasn't during football season. I don't know that if he's had some in the league, it's never been reported, you know, because usually they tell so-and-so is under concussion protocol or whatever. And he's never shared that with me, which I would think he would share it with me. He did tell me after one game that he, now this, like when I'm telling you this kid is tough, he's tough.
Oh, I know.
I was waiting for him in the laundry room. He comes in. He was taking a while. He always takes a long time, but he was taking exceptionally longer this day. And he came and he's like, I have an x-ray because, you know, my ribs are bothering me. He's like, they said I had a cracked rib, but it didn't happen today. So this fool.
You didn't realize?
He's playing with a cracked rib. He's like, but it didn't happen today. Okay. And then he's like, I think I might have known when that happened. All right, Ezekiel. I can't even imagine. I've never had a cracked rib, but I've known people that have, and they tell me it's hard to breathe. So now how you're out here running around, playing a game, getting hit on every play, if you're not running the ball, you're blocking, and you're playing doing this with a cracked rib for I don't know how many games you've been doing it, because they told you that it didn't happen today.
Well, listen, it definitely paid off because he signed a new deal. What is it worth? What? $90 million. So he will be with the Cowboys for a minute.
God willing. You know that, you know this business.
I know that NFL contract is written on a sand on a windy day, honey. It just blows away. But I mean, but no, but he is the heart of that team. And we'll get to Dak Prescott in a second. But how did it make you feel when you watched him sign that?
I was so happy for him because Ezekiel was holding out and much to fans' dismay.
Because fans know best.
You know, he was being selfish and holding out. But let me tell you, and had he not held out, he wouldn't have got that contract.
You have to do what's best for you.
Yeah, you do. And that's fine. And that's okay. And I just always feel like that's like the main gripe. Now, everybody is mad that he's got this money and he's got this money.
I'm sorry, did the money come out of your pocket? This is one thing I don't understand about fans. It's like, the money's not coming out of your pocket. It's coming out of the owner's pocket because these guys bring the value that built the money. That build the business that the owners have.
They're always owner friendly.
Which is insane to me. Because when the team cuts you, everybody's like, oh, it's business. But when you hold out to get a best deal, you're selfish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, how do you as a mom, how do you just keep him grounded? You know, like.
He usually has to keep me grounded. Oh, I forgot what happened. It was something this year, someone tweeted at me and I couldn't see it, but I was replying to someone else. So then I did see the tweet. So then I was like, you know what? I was like, you tell him. Here's his app. Don't tell me. I was like, you can tell him. And so at the end of the game, I always tell Ezekiel, you know, I love you. I'm proud of you. So I sent him a text. So he texted me back. He was like, love you too. Quit tweeting at people.
I am a master at ignoring folks, and I'm a master at the block button. I don't do the mute thing because for me personally, it's too passive aggressive for me. I need to let you know that you have zero access to me. So you get this block. You get this block. And whenever you think about hitting me, you will know you are unimportant. You're so unimportant that I have blocked you. Now you may go off in the fields with your other raccoon friends.
And sign in under your burner account and try to see what I'm saying.
Yes.
Do you know I'm gonna make you, you have to sign into your burner to see me.
People will, like, you will block them. And I've had, like, maybe three people in the last probably 3 years do this. I'm like, okay, I know you block them. And then they create. And then they will tell you, you blocked me before, but I created this account.
Like, you went through all that. You did all that, which means you had to get a new email. You had to get a new email. And then you had, it's like, what?
One guy did that. I was like, he's like, you blocked me, but I'm back. He's a Giants fan.
Look, you know he must love you. You must be on his mind. You talk about living rent free. This guy created a whole new email, created a whole new Twitter account just to tell you, you blocked me.
Just
before.
To tell me that, I'm back.
And guess what? You're going to have to go create a whole nother one. Block.
Oh, child. I don't have the energy for it. I just don't. But I know him and Dak Prescott are very close. And I know that Dak went down. Let's talk about that. What people don't understand, even though your kid doesn't play for a team, we look at all these guys like they're our sons because they are. You know what I mean? They are. And this league is so small. Like, I look across the league and there are guys that Eli plays 7-on-7 against. The guys Eli was with, the Nike opening with, or All-American. Like, these guys all know each other. They're connected. So when I saw Dak go down, because it was so funny, because earlier when I was watching the game and when Dak caught that touchdown pass and he went on the sideline and he was just smiling, I said to myself, wow, I love seeing him smile. And then so at the end of the game to watch him go down, like, I literally had tears in my eyes. How did it feel? Because you're very close to him. How did it make you feel when you saw him go down?
So I saw him go down and I saw him like hold his leg up. I guess the way he was holding his calf, it made it look like it was cramping. I was like, oh, he just has a calf cramp. I didn't look down further. And then when I saw down further, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe they're showing this on TV. I mean, it just, you know, the way his, well, you know, you saw the way his foot was contorted. So I was like, oh geez, you know. And then I'm like you, I had tears in my eyes. But what really got me, I mean, when the waterworks came on and I boohooed, was when Coach Garrett came over there. That broke me down. Yeah. It really did. You know, that Coach Garrett came out on the field.
Coach Jason Garrett was Dak's coach for like until last year.
For the first four seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that I was like, oh my God.
And he's now with the Giants.
Yeah. So that really broke me down. And then to see him card up, and another one that's a tough kid is Dak, because he didn't even, I mean, can you imagine your ankle being dislocated and his fracture broke the skin. It came through the skin. He was just like, you know, help, you know. I think the only reason he was crying when he was carted off was because he realized how serious the injury was. He, you know, he probably wouldn't be back with his team. So I think that that's what really got him. I don't know. But, you know, to see him in the moment when all that was going on, he was just like, oh, you know. And so I was like, oh, he just has a calf cramp. You know, the way it looked then when I saw it, I was like, whew.
And Dak Prescott, for those of you who don't follow football or live under a very, very nice, shiny rock, Dak Prescott is the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. And he's had a tough year. He lost his brother and he admittedly has shared his battle with depression. I just have so much respect for just the man that he is. And people don't understand.
You got
vulnerability is a hallmark of leadership. Right. And mm-hmm. You can't be a leader if you're not vulnerable. And this kid at this year, this young man at this young age, he already gets it. But to watch him and watch all his teammates around him when he's carted off, because he was having a phenomenal season. How did this really impact Ezekiel? Because I know him and Dak are very, very close.
You know, he immediately, you know, of course, I texted him after the game. He told me he was getting ready to go to the hospital, because I know at one point, I believe Hallie was sitting with Dak's girlfriend and said that they were going to fly him to Green Bay because, you know, they have that. I think his name is Dr. Anderson. Anyway, they've got that phenomenal foot and ankle surgeon in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yes, Eli has seen him. He's a great doctor.
So they said they were flying him to Green Bay. So when Ezekiel texted me, he's like, I'm getting ready to go to the hospital. Dak is in surgery. I was like, oh, I thought he was going to Green Bay. He's like, no, they couldn't. They were afraid, you know, because it broke the skin. They didn't want any infection. So they did it here in Dallas. So he was headed to the hospital to see him. And then he's been visiting him, been going to his house to see him.
How is Dak's spirits?
From what Ezekiel told me, he was just like, just kind of loopy, you know, and he's in a lot of pain from it.
Well, we'll definitely all continue to pray for Dak, that he's going to make a safe, speedy, and healthy recovery, and that his impact, not just on the field, but off the field, would just continue to grow.
It will. And you know, he's going to come, he'll probably come back even stronger. That's just how he is.
You know, this game, you know, as we, you know, get ready to kind of wrap up, this is such a tough game, and people watch it and they think it's just glamour. But the risk that these young men put out there, especially during COVID, you know, because at first we didn't even think there would be a season. And I think that this is a hard year for you because you never miss a game.
No.
You never miss a game. But because of COVID and your existing health issues, you haven't been to one. What has that been like for you not to be in the stands? Before you answer that, I have to tell you guys this, right? Ezekiel is a very much mama's boy. I remember Ezekiel will never start playing until he looks in the stand and see his mama there. There was one game in Ohio State where I don't know where Dawn was. She was running late. I don't know, she was getting chicken tacos, whatever it was. He saw me. He was like, Miss Annie, where's my mom? And they were literally about to get into a huddle and start the game. I was like, I don't know, but you better turn around and go over there. Like, he always, when he comes into the stadium, from college since I've known them, the first thing he does is look in the stand and spot where she is.
It's been, you know, I hate watching. I mean, he did set up my little theater area down in the basement. Very nice.
She's a liar. It's not a little theater area. That TV is bigger than my room. Okay. How, I didn't even know they made TV that big. How big is this TV?
It's big.
It's big. It's a whole theater. Like, seriously, I'm about to get on a plane and fly to Missouri to go watch all my football games there. It's massive. It's massive.
Come on. I'm stuck in Missouri and I'm bored. Come to my bubble. But no, it's an 86-inch TV. And he got me a couch and two chairs and a little popcorn maker. And so he said it was cheaper than the suite.
It's theater seating, guys. It's theater seating. It's not some little couch and a chair, okay? There's a whole theater downstairs, all right? There's a whole theater. But it's not the same.
No, it's not. It's not the same. It's not the same as, like, being in AT&T Stadium, and when it's third down, I stand up and I whistle, and I, you know, I feel like at the stadium, they show the decibels, you know? So I feel like when I whistle, I get it over 100 decibels. I was like, that's me. I did that.
You do. I've been to games. That's me. And literally, that's her, because her whistle will raise the dead.
I used to whistle. Well, I still do. But when I was whistling at his Little League games, I'd have people looking around like, oh, that's you. I thought that was someone's dad. No, that's someone's mom. And I can whistle. I'm from the country and I know how to whistle.
So then what? Okay. Dawn has a pregame text that she always sends.
He gets his text too. He still gets his text.
What is that pregame text?
I don't ever tell anybody. You know, but I won't ever tell anybody.
It's a very special text.
It's kind of different, but it always ends, I'm gonna put it out there because I never tell anybody, usually because it's not like probably appropriate to say, but he gets hashtag no bitch assness.
At the end of
no offense. Bitch assness, run over. Okay,
you see, you remind me because I said to Audrey Garrett, I said Miles on the field is Audrey, Miles off the field is Lawrence, his father. Ezekiel on the field is you, because you are tough. You are. I think, you know, you and Stacey have done an amazing job with the kids. But I see a lot of their toughness and a lot of their resilience come from you, because you are the most ferociously fearless, competitive, but hardworking person I know.
Thank you.
Do you know what I mean? Like, all those things. No, all those things are true. And if any one of your kids ends up being lazy, get a DNA test. That baby ain't yours. You know what I mean?
They sent me home with the wrong baby.
What has been, I mean, listen, year five, right? He has a contract. By the grace of God, he's healthy. What are you most proud of?
I'm just proud that he made it to this level, because I always thought it was like less than 2% of the collegiate players actually can get to this level. Somebody had tweeted at me, said it's actually less than 1% of the collegiate players that make it. And so, because that always bothers me when you see someone say that one of these players is trash. No, none of these guys are trash. They are in the top of their position. You know, less than 1% of them can even play at this level. So for you to even make it, I mean, even make it on the team on the practice squad, you're not trash. That irritates me about fans or people that want to say a player is trash. None of these guys are trash. You may have a bad game or whatever, but they're not trash.
And usually the people saying that are the ones who are living in their grandmama's basement. They owe her $43 in back rent.
Never played a down.
Never made it in JV squad, because you can't look at anybody at that level and say that. You're absolutely correct. If you had a magic ball and you had to, you know, how does Ezekiel end his career? Like, what is your dream for him?
My dream for him is I want him to win a Super Bowl. I mean, he's won a national championship. Why don't you've been on a national championship collegiate team? Let's get on a winning Super Bowl team. So that would probably be my dream for him. Get a gold jacket, possibly.
Gold jacket.
Plant him a Buckeye tree.
Any conversation, honestly, with Dawn Elliott is always a fun one. Having one of your best friends on your podcast is definitely awesome. There's so much to unpack in this chat. Reliving the start of this pandemic was definitely memorable, because honestly, we had no idea how long we will be here, but here we are. Also, I'm so glad that Dak Prescott is continuing to get better and heal. Watching him get carted off was definitely traumatic, so I'm so glad he's getting better every day. Layla Elliott is now a college graduate from The Ohio State University. I am so proud of her. I love when Dawn shared the truth that honestly, no player is trash. You can have a bad game, you can struggle, but that doesn't change the fact that these guys have already accomplished something that a very large percentage of people could never do. Face it, less than 1% of athletes make it to the NFL. That in itself is a huge accomplishment. So never call a professional athlete trash. Which brings me to today's Annie's Clapback. We don't care about your fantasy football team. We don't give a damn about your fantasy football team. Not the players, not their families, none of us. We're too busy living and surviving the reality of football. A few weeks ago on Twitter, it was reported a player wouldn't play due to the fact that he was still suffering from concussion symptoms. And the replies were people who cared more about their fantasy football teams than the well-being of this young man who was still dealing with brain issues. We gotta do better, folks. Sports may be your escape, but don't allow your escape from your world to make you an asshole in our world. And as always, thank you for listening. Raising a Pro is part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. We're taking a little break over Christmas, but we'll be back with a very special episode on January 1st. In the meantime, we would love it if you could please help support the podcast by rating and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts, or share it with someone you know or think will love it. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or hit that follow button on Spotify so you don't miss any new episodes. See you next time, family, and please stay safe during the holidays.